Ladies and gentlemen, I always say ladies and gentlemen to start the show. It's John Browner. It's Burt Grossman. Some of you also may know this thing as Browner and Burt here live on the Mightier 1090. It is Tuesday, August the 3rd. Again, I keep doing the day too. I should probably stop doing that in case we need to use this again. We do sports. Sometimes Burt gets a little crazy, but for the most part, we do sports. You can find Burt on Twitter at Burt_Grossman. You can find me on Twitter at Browner's Podcast. Like I said, brought to you live here on the Mightier 1090. We were usually brought to you by the San Diego Strike Force, but clearly that's now out of the window because Burt, quote unquote, resigned. Because, you know, quitting is not what you do. Getting fired is not what you do around here. You resign. You can find the visual version of this show on YouTube at Kaplan and Crew. You can also now find us at the on the podcast page. All you got to do is go to YouTube. I'm sorry. All you got to do is go to iTunes or any podcast platform. Type in Kaplan and Crew, and Browner and Burt is somewhere listed in there. So we've got about, I think we got about six podcasts on there so far. Today's going to be seven, and tomorrow's going to be eight. Because you know why? We're doing tomorrow. Math. We're doing Wednesday. Wednesday is the day, y'all. What's up, Burt?
Man, you know what? And they're doing a PPR podcast this year. I got to do it. KUSI. Well, I got a lot of podding going on.
First of all, you know who started the PPR podcast, right?
You going to say you?
No, that, I'm not going to say me. It was me.
And then you resigned?
Of course I did.
I'll just check it. Did you get fired or resign?
Nah, dude. So my KUSI story is about as funny as Scott's. I got fired.
Nice.
I guess the full discretion. Okay. Both.
Okay.
I was working at KUSI as a writer, and I had worked there for about 2 years, and I had asked them for either more assignments or more money. They're not going to give you more money, and that, for whatever reason, they didn't want to let me work in the sports department. And at this time, it was Brandon Stone, who I love. Brandon, I think Brandon's great.
Rick Willis,
shout out to Rick Willis and Paul Rudy. And at the time there was a girl, it was a female there too as well, but I can't remember her name off the top of my head. Wasn't Allie Wagner. She had moved over to sports at that time.
Okay.
Or by that time. And so I was like, yo, well, let me move to sports. I talked to Paul about it. He said, yeah, but it's not up to me. It's up to them. So I was doing PPR at that time, and I had very successful segments on PPR. And then at that point I was like, yo, let me do podcasts. And he was like, well, we don't do that. I'm like, well, let me do them. And so I started interviewing head coaches and interviewing prep Pigskin Report players who were nominated. And it was working. And they didn't want to let me switch to sports. And I went in there and asked them for more money as a writer. I was a terrible writer, by the way. So I know why they didn't want to pay me more money or give me more responsibility to read people's punctuations or misspelled words. And they were like, well, you know, normally we only keep writers for a year. But we kept you for 2 years. So, I mean, obviously we like you, but we can't give you more money.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And so then one day I had an opportunity to make more money doing something at the time for BCA. And I told them, I called the assignment editor at the time and said, hey, I can't come to work today because Lisa, I can't remember Lisa's last name, but I called Lisa and said, hey, I'm not coming to work today. I got to do this thing in Torrey Pines at the golf tournament. Because I knew Brandon would see me there, and I didn't want to lie and tell him, oh, I was sick or something. So I told him the truth. So when I tell them the truth, I get a call from Sally Luck. I think that's her name, if I'm not mistaken. And she said, no, if you don't come in, we're going to say that we're going to take that as you quitting. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not quitting. You guys are firing me because I'm not coming in. And so then they just wrote it on the paper that I quit. And then at the end, when they gave me my last check, Sally was like, well, you need to check this box to say that you quit. And I was like, well, I told you then I didn't quit, so I'm not checking that box. She gave me the check. I'm assuming they checked the box when I left.
Yeah, check the box. that's so you didn't really get fired. You made a choice. Scott got fired.
Man,
he got fired. You didn't get fired. You resigned pretty much.
It was time for me to roll out, man. I tell people all the time, I learned a lot about news working at that station. I don't know between this show and that show and Kaplan and Crew, we talked about KUSI a little too much, but I learned a lot about news and about what not to do and how not to carry yourself and how not to behave And so I'm glad I had a chance to work there. I absorbed a lot. I learned a lot technically and professionally. And so I'm glad I was able to be a part of that. But you worked there. So, you know, what have you learned?
I like it. I got no complaints. But, you know, I don't really, I'm like, I just show up and get on, you know, I don't prepare like
right
here. I just kind of, like I said, I'm a natural hitter like Tony Gwynn. I just go out and do it.
C-ball,
I don't need
ball
to steal signs. I don't need to prepare. I don't need a batting coach. I'm a natural hitter. So I just go out there and do it.
We've got a couple of stories to get to that I'm super interested in. Nick Bosa's girlfriend, Jenna, at some point, we're going to talk about you right away, but we've got NBA free agency. We've also got more news coming out of Colts camp. And apparently there was a huge brawl at Giants camp. We're going to talk about that too. But let's get to this young lady. Mm-hmm. Now, some of you may not know her. Her name's Jenna. I would hope if you're a football fan or a sports fan, you know the guy on the right. That's Nick Bosa. Now, the problem with Jenna is that she likes to drop N-bombs and mm-hmm. F-bombs.
Wait, hold on. What year was that tweet, by the way?
They were as far back as 2012.
Okay. Oh, there was more than one?
Oh, what? There were over 40.
Oh, I only saw the one.
See, you saw one. I would put the rest of them up, but I really don't want that trouble.
Yeah, from
there are too many to count.
Really?
Yes. So it's not one off. These are a lot. Some date far back as 2012. I think the latest one was like 2016, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So 5 years ago at best.
Mm-hmm.
So 5 years ago, what was she? 17, 18 years old? So this begs the question of, are we going to judge him based on his girlfriend?
Yeah. Yeah, usually they when you mesh up with somebody, usually you have common themes about life and people and things like that. So yeah, one's usually the same as the other.
I present that question to you because I wanted to hear how you felt about that, because I feel the same way. You don't date somebody, and apparently they've been dating for a while.
Mm-hmm.
What's a while depends on who you are, so the number of months is irrelevant. You know the type of person that you're dating if they're tweeting stuff like this, period. Because they talk like that when they're one-on-one with you. And if you know anything about Nick Bosa, you know he wanted a MAGA man, okay? He trumped to the end. People know that. It's not a surprise in the locker room. Richard Sherman came out and said, guys don't even talk about that stuff, which was probably one of the worst lies Richard Sherman has ever told at a report of any kind, okay? I've been in the locker room with people. We talk about the dumbest stuff and guys getting mad at each other over the dumbest things.
Yeah.
So if you're going to tell me that Nick Bosa's full frontal Trump support did cause an issue in a locker room and an organization that booted Colin Kaepernick, I don't believe you.
I don't agree with that. And again, like you said, I don't, you know, it's weird with these tweets. I mean, I don't like people going back 30 years.
I don't either.
I mean, unfortunately, you know, it was a different culture back then, a different time, and that's the way people said it. But people learn and they move on. But in 2016, it was pretty much the same as now. It's not like they went back to the 80s or 90s or did something like that. But yeah, going back 30 years is one thing. But like you said, sometimes people, you know, drunk text or one off something,
right?
And mistakes.
Yeah.
But when it's 40, if you texted or if you tweeted 40 times, you're probably saying it 40 times a day in your regular conversations.
What I think the damning part about all this is, she, by calling herself a N-word magnet, mm-hmm. meaning that she doesn't like black guys trying to come after her, but for her to be completely reciting rap lyrics is where all the N-words came from in her tweets. They're basically her typing out rap lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
For someone who really loves the black culture, you sure have a strange way of appreciating it.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
or you could just say, you know, I'm a low key racist, so I'm gonna, you know, tweet out the word, but I'm gonna hide it behind somebody else's lyrics so it doesn't look like it, but the word's still gonna get out there and it's gonna be attached to me.
And that's basically how this went. Not to mention the amount of F bombs she was out there dropping too. So she is, whoever went looking for something on this woman, man, they found the gold mine. I don't know, when they were reading these tweets, their eyes were probably popping out of their heads. And again, Nick Bosa knew about this.
Oh, what happened to that one? Like, he doesn't follow her?
I don't, a person of that stature, okay, if Nick Bosa is not doing leg work on his dates, because they're doing leg work on you, I bet you she know how much money he worth.
Oh, without a doubt.
I bet you know how much his contract worth, but you mean to tell me he don't know about her tweets? It's easy to look at someone's tweets. Do yourself a favor. If you're listening to this right now, look at a tweet you, if your Twitter is 10 years old, look at a tweet you said 5 years ago. Watch how you cringe. Because we all do. I did. I did the exercise. I was like, ooh, I can't believe I said that. I didn't need it. I probably should have.
Now I'm going to look at mine, man. It's too late.
Dude, I got some home run hitters, bro. I had to get rid of them.
Really? Give me an example of one. And here's the other part. How long, I mean, for all we know, and I don't know either way, it could be a month or it could be 6 years. He might have been dating this girl since high school or college, and he was still dating her when these tweets were coming out.
So Nick Bosa does not get off easy on this particular situation. And I know.
Give me one of your home run tweets, man, from 5 years ago. Come on.
Ooh, a lot of them at that time were about police. Like how terrible police were and how racist police were. Just really, really rabid about social injustice and calling cops all types of names.
So, well, that's okay. I mean, I don't agree with you. Don't get me wrong, but. Again, people. This is what people forget. I mean, you go back 5 years. You're reading it now, where everything's hunky dory. But you know that might have been right after Michael Brown or George Floyd. I mean, you don't know what's in a person's emotion and what happened that day that triggered it. So that day, it doesn't come off as offensive, but it doesn't age well 5 years down the road. Hers come off offensive anytime, anywhere,
any place, bruh.
Place.
I. This. Will upset that locker room if she shows up. If you're the girlfriend's section, okay?
Oh,
black athletes.
Yeah, they have about two white girls in that girlfriend section too. She gonna get it.
So if you show up in there and they know about it, because they know, the girlfriends know, they all talk, yeah. They share, they know about this. You know,
God, yeah, they know about this.
You know how uncomfortable that's gonna be when the player has to go home and his girlfriend says, did you know Nick Bosa did, his girlfriend did XYZ? You're going to have to be like, hey, man, you got more sacks than me, girl. I got to keep my mouth shut.
Dang. Exactly. But, I mean, Nick Bosa was vocal and didn't hide his Trump stuff. So I think,
at all.
Yeah, so it's not like they don't know what he is or what he's about or what he supports. So I don't think whatever issue was in the locker room, I don't think this is going to change it much, but – yeah, I guarantee you, like, she's not going to be sitting in the fiancé and girlfriend group. He's going to buy her, like, a box or something.
Family section only for her.
Yeah.
Her and his parents.
She's going to get her own suite.
What was something that – okay, so when you play, what was something that happened in the locker room that completely caused a disturbance that not a lot of people knew about? Other than something you did, of course.
About to say, I think the only ones that really happened were the stuff I did. You know, it was only two people that always caused a disturbance in that locker room. It was me and Leslie O'Neal, and it was usually towards each other because we didn't get along. I mean, you know, but really, all right, the biggest one was we came in at halftime of a game, and there was a linebacker, something Rollins, Henry Rollins, or is that the singer? So, whatever. Yeah. It was something Rollins, and he messed something up like right before the half, busted a coverage, and they scored. And the linebacker, he's black. The linebacker coach is white. Linebacker coach starts screaming at him, going off on him in the locker room in front of everybody. Leslie O'Neal in full gear come flying across the room like Dusty Rhodes and just straight elbowed the coach in the back of the head, knocked him to the ground, and then put him in a headlock and started choking him. This is halftime of a game. Started choking the coach. You know that is, man. I don't know if they fined him, but Leslie went out there and started the second half. Leslie was out of practice the next day, and Leslie never sat the following week. But things like that happen a lot. But like I said, it was usually me and Leslie. It wasn't really anybody else.
How did he get away with that?
I don't know. Nobody knows, man. Because
he do it?
Because, you know, he thought the white coach was yelling the black player, and I guess he took it as racial. I don't know. I don't remember. I mean, the coach might have said something racial. I don't remember that part. But I just remember because Leslie's locker was next to mine, and it was across the locker room. And Leslie's got up off his seat straight from behind, hit him with that people's elbow, and he went down, and then he went down to him and put him in the chokehold. I'm like, damn.
What were other people doing? Looking?
Pretty much looking, and then a couple players, you know, like the Christian Fellowship players jumped in and pulled him off. Like the Gil Birds and Darren Carrington's, the Christians jumped in, pulled him off, and then, but then it was like nothing. Like he went out and started the second half. Put his mouthpiece back in, and we went out back out and played. I mean, that's probably the craziest thing. So yeah, things happen in the locker room all the time, but yeah, it's bad.
So that is, and so that's what I'm saying. When people think that this is just gonna be like a nothing burger, I just disagree.
No. Yeah, you might not hear about it, so you think it's a right. nothing burger, but it's something. Yeah, it's coming up.
I
mean, even you only have to talk about you know, games. I mean, they have open training camps where the girlfriends, wives, fiancés, family, they all come out and watch along with a bunch of other African-American fans, probably. I mean, you still got to walk around there. It's like, how do you walk? It's hard. I don't know what she does now, to be honest with you.
So that story came out earlier today. And I mean, since we're on football, let's, I guess, stick to football.
And this is San Francisco, too. This is in, like, Alabama.
Yeah.
Like, if you're in Alabama, you might actually get cheered or something. She might get cheered coming into practice from the fans. But this is San Francisco, the most liberal place in the world. The world.
Hands down. Not
Hands
even close.
In the world. I mean, you can call it Santa Clara or wherever the hell they're at now, but it's San Francisco. And, yeah, that's going to be a little different. That's going to be – and like you said, this is a place where they got rid of Kaepernick. So this is going to be an interesting play out this season. We might not hear about it, but it's going to be interesting.
The question is goes over to this as well. And I just remembered this right now sitting here. When Jimmy Garoppolo was dating that porn star, mm-hmm. and they kept getting seen together after dinner, and then it became official that he was dating this porn star, the organization came to him and was like, yo, you can't do that. You're the quarterback. You're the face of the franchise. We can't have you out here having croissants with a porn star, dude. You got to cut that loose.
Only the president's allowed to be with a porn star, not the quarterback of the 49ers.
So do you think they would say the same thing to him? I mean, he's their best player on defense. He's kind of the face of their franchise. He's their most marquee player.
I don't think they can tell him not to date a Trump supporter. I think they can tell him to ask her to apologize and give some kind of apology. I don't know if it's going to work, but there's not much they can tell them. What are they going to tell them?
If you're the general manager, you called him into your office. How do you even start that talk? Hey, listen, man, we've seen the tweets. Just tell her to apologize. Like, what is he going to say to that? Okay.
I mean, it's John Lynch, and he's a Republican too. So maybe I don't know.
That call might not come at all.
Might not come at all. I think there's only so much you can say. I'll give you another Leslie O'Neill locker room story that comes back to this one, because this is an even better conversation if you're the GM. And I told this before, it might have been on Kaplan, but we go into like training camp my second year, and Leslie's not at training camp. And everybody's like, where's Leslie? He's not holding out. He just signed a new deal. He's not there for like 5 days. And then we come out the fifth day to practice, and Current Fair and Hard Copy and all them goofy shows that used to be TMZ, they're all out there and they're interviewing. They're like, don't interview with any of these people. Don't give them a thing. So, you know, I went there and talked to them. And I'm like, what's this about? And he's like, oh, Leslie O'Neill was in a love triangle. He was sleeping with some dude's wife. And the dude found out it was Leslie O'Neill, and he gave his wife rat poison.
Oh.
And she was dying, and she died. She ended up dying. He killed her. But why she was dying on the rat poison, he took her phone, dialed Leslie, and put it on speaker and let him listen to it. So Leslie was, and then he said he was coming to kill Leslie. So Leslie was in, like, you know, witness protection or protective custody for like the whole week till they caught the dude, and he missed camp, missed everything. But I don't know what the GM conversation for that is either, but let's get in trouble for choking and knocking out people's elbow and choking a coach, and he didn't get in trouble for you know, the love triangle. So I don't know what you do with Nick Bosa. I don't know what you can do, because I know Leslie was out there practicing as soon as that dude was caught and starting again. There was no punishment or anything. That might have been, actually, I take that was the same year That was the same year in training camp that he ended up choking the coach like third or fourth game. That was my second year. That was the exact same year. And I'm like,
oh, all right.
But yeah, I don't know what his conversations were. But again, he was the best player on the defense at that time because it was Junior's rookie year. So Junior hadn't surpassed him yet. You know, Billy Ray was at the end of his career. So Leslie was the best player on defense. So when you're the best player on defense or offense or either one, you get away with a lot. Yeah, you ain't the same as the practice squad guy.
When we come back, we'll talk about the free agency moves, and hopefully no one gets knocked out doing commercial. Browner and Burt. Second half of the pod, Browner and Burt. If you missed the first half on the Mightier 1090, you cannot rewind it, but you can podcast it. You can head over to the Kaplan and Crew, or you could just go to the podcast app on your phone, put in Kaplan and Crew, and Browner and Burt will come up somewhere in there. The title of this episode will definitely be that time Lorenzo Low O'Neill knocked out somebody.
Not Lorenzo O'Neill, Leslie O'Neill.
Well, let me write that down so I don't get that wrong. Yeah. Leslie O'Neill.
Lorenzo, old college wrestler. He'll come out here and twist us up. You better get that right.
the time Leslie O'Neill choked the coach at halftime. That's going to be the title of this episode. If you are driving around in your car, you're tuning into the Mightier 1090. You know the signal. If you want to hear or see us, by the way, visually, head over to YouTube, Kaplan and Crew, same process, Browner and Burt. If you want to reach out to Burt because, you know, he's got stories or he's going to say something crazy before this is over, you can find Burt on Twitter at Burt_Grossman or on Facebook at Burt Grossman, where he hangs out with the other old people. Or you can find me.
I saw you liked it. You loved Facebook yesterday. Toby McDonald's post about Scott getting fired. You like that.
I go on Facebook.
Don't lie.
I go on Facebook every Monday to check to make sure people aren't insulting me.
Okay.
So during my weekly checkup, that's when I saw that. I liked one of your tweets. I liked one of your posts too about the kids in the wheelchairs.
So when you check in on Monday, you looking for like one of your white girl exes to say something bad, racial or something about you? What are you looking for, Nick?
Yeah, I'm waiting for them to start dropping in bombs so I can capture them tweets and put them out on the internet, get them fired from their jobs.
Nice. Do it, Leslie.
Facts. So the NBA trade deadline passed a long time ago. So you know what that means when it comes to big money. It's free agency time. The Los Angeles Lakers, I don't know what they're doing. They're signing every old guy they can find, including Carmelo Anthony, who was the latest signing today.
I thought he retired like 10 years ago, man.
They picked up Carmelo Anthony. They've got Malik Monk. They brought back Dwight Howard, Trevor Ariza. They traded for Russell Westbrook.
Is Dr. J still playing? Dr. J and Moses Malone. Come on.
Get Dr. J to come play for the minimum. They might take him.
Man. And then they have like three dudes. You got Westbrook making like $44 million. LeBron making 41. Who else they got on there?
Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis making like 25. And then the next dude's making like 300,000.
Two. Their roster is roughly made up of three guys when it comes to cap space. And the rest of their roster is literally a bunch of guys who either just want to live in LA for a year, mm-hmm. or they're old and but if you're gonna ring chase on this roster, you gotta understand your best player is probably gonna be Anthony Davis, not LeBron James. LeBron's gonna be 37. Russell Westbrook has never met a mid-range jump shot he didn't like, and he shoots at a low percentage. He was also the lowest three-point shooter per 100 attempts last year. So that's not gonna help. You bring in a guy like Malik Monk, whose only famous moment in the NBA is when he did something wrong at the end of a basketball game and Michael Jordan slapped him on the back of the head because he is the owner. Like, these guys that you're bringing in, we already know Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard's a good role player. So Dwight Howard's going to play his role properly. But after that, Wayne Ellerton, okay. Like, what happened? What happened to the Lakers being able to woo guys because you've got LeBron, because you've got AD? Guys are supposed to want to play for you. What happened to that?
I don't know if guys do want to play with them. I mean, why would guys want to play with them? I mean, you ain't going to get the ball. You're not going to be the feature guy. I mean, if you're young, they're just going to force you out. Why would you really want to play with them? I mean, it's always the older guys that do. I mean, granted, because they're already established, but If you're a younger guy, why you want to play with those dudes, man? You're just going to be like third, fourth, fifth fiddle.
If you are a guy who is actually worth their salt, like a guy like Patty Mills signs with Brooklyn, not with the Lakers, because they were looking to sign him as well. So that's a guy that they lost out to Brooklyn. If you're looking at the Western Conference, you've got to know the Lakers are the oldest team in the league at this point. Mm-hmm. So the idea that a 37-year-old LeBron James, an often injured Anthony Davis, and a brick house builder in Russell Westbrook is going to get you to the Western Conference Finals, I think people have another thing coming. I think people really need to sit back and re-examine their expectations for the Lakers this season.
What do you think about your Bulls and the Ball?
I think the Bulls signing Lonzo Ball was a very good move for them. I don't want to get too basketball-y here, but
yeah,
the Chicago Bulls had 10 games where one player had 10 assists or more. Lonzo Ball himself had 40 last year. So he's going to help that offense. He's going to help that defense. Him and Zach LaVine in the backcourt, that's going to be fun to watch. A pick and roll with him and Lauri Markkanen if they keep him. Patrick Williams is a good young player. He was the youngest player in the league last year, so he's going to be better. Kobe White, there's a lot of good pieces on the Chicago Bulls now going forward. I think they're going to be around a fourth or fifth seed in the East. I don't see them beating Milwaukee. I don't see them beating Brooklyn, nor do I see them beating another team. They made a lot of moves yesterday, and that being the Miami Heat. So the Miami Heat.
So let me
Heat
ask you another question. So what? Okay. What I mean, you sit there and go, the Lakers are old, and they got these, you know, old superstars. What's different than Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman?
Well, when you talk about Michael Jordan at the age he was at, Michael Jordan was 36 when he won his last title. And Michael Jordan's at the peak of his game. Scottie Pippen was at the peak of his game at the time. And Dennis Rodman is one of the greatest athletes you'd ever seen.
He was partying at that time too.
And he was high on cocaine and doing shots at halftime. So
who you put is wilder, Leslie O'Neal or Dennis Rodman?
Oh, Dennis Rodman. Now, Dennis Rodman wasn't disruptive in the locker room. Dennis Rodman was kicking photographers. Dennis Rodman, if we've all watched The Last Dance, told the coach, I need a vacation. Like, Dennis, it's December. I know. I'm tired. What? Like, he told that to the coach, and Michael Jordan sitting right there like, wait, what? Scottie's hurt, and you want to go on vacation? To show you how good he was, they let him go.
Yeah, yeah.
Like people they forget, let him.
Man. Yeah, people forget. Like we like see these things. Like you know, it was a Kyrie Irving takes like a day or two off for a personal thing. And they forget about like what happened like 80s, 90s when it was just crazy. And all of a sudden, he's this crazy unhinged mental health dude. And it's like, you guys ever see Dennis Rodman?
And so I think when we're trying to make that comparison or draw a close comparison to an older team being the Chicago Bulls who won 3 championships in a row, those guys all actually played together 2-3 years in a row. The Lakers are kind of retooling every year with guys like this. It worked in a bubble. It absolutely didn't work last year. And now you're getting LeBron a year older and a little more hurt. Same thing for AD, a year older, a little more hurt, but he's more young, so he's in better position. But Russell Westbrook's got 2 knee surgeries on his docket.
And there's no chemistry. Like you said, those three had chemistry. They were together long enough. There's no chemistry with them.
And also a move that got made during this free agency as well that really caught my attention is Chris Paul signed a 4-year deal.
He's 37, 38, isn't he?
For $120 million, or somewhere around there, with the Suns. The Phoenix Suns had a good run. They're not going back to the finals. The Phoenix Suns had a good run. I doubt they make the Western Conference Finals. You're going to give a guy who gets hurt every year, got hurt this year in the playoffs. And by the way, after he signed that contract with his right hand,
he hurt his left.
Went and had surgery on that right hand.
What about you think Trae Young's worth 200? What's he getting? $50 million a year?
Yes. Listen, Trae Young is worth the money that they're paying him because Trae Young's been in the league for 4 years. He's got a decade ahead of him. That's an investment that the Hawks are making in what looks like will be the next Steph Curry. I'm okay with Trae Young getting his money. Hell, I'm okay with Steph Curry getting his money. I think you couldn't. There are two people who, two, maybe three, maybe the only two, that there's no amount of money you can pay them that makes it, that's too much. Steph Curry and LeBron James, you can't pay them enough. What LeBron's done for the NBA, what Steph Curry's done for the NBA, what Steph Curry's done for the Golden State Warrior franchise, you can't write a check big enough for him and what he's done for them. So I'm okay with those two guys making whatever they make.
Okay, okay. I'm okay with you. Man, get off basketball, man. Come on, let's talk about training camp. Ain't nobody want to hear your basketball talk.
So the Giants get into a brawl at training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently.
What Joe about the other one? The one was the Carolina where
they cut the guy?
Yeah, he did a headshot like a Jack Tatum across the middle in first day of pads. That's crazy.
So what are the rules? Please tell people, what are the rules in training camp? Like, who can't you punch? Who can't you tackle? Like, why is Daniel Jones at the bottom of a pile at a brawl in New York? Why is this guy headhunting somebody in training camp?
Daniel Jones, I'll go with that one. There's only one rule and you're not allowed to hit the quarterback. That's usually it. And again, these are like 80s, 90s rules. You could hit people across the middle. You could do that stuff. But now it's basically the same as what you do in a game. I mean, he would have got ejected in a game, and to do it to your own guy is insane. I mean, you're not allowed to do that in a game. Like I said, that was similar to, you know, the one where Tatum, you know, what was that guy, Dwight Stingley, when he paralyzed him in the middle of the game against New England.
Yeah.
It was a similar hit, and nobody, I mean, it kind of went out then. I mean, people don't want to do it, and there's always guys that will do it, but I've never seen it done in practice to your own guy.
They had to cart that guy off and put him in an ambulance.
And just the fact that he got cut that day after that hit tells you how faux pas it is or not, you know, welcome anywhere.
The Daniel Jones thing is very telling. The fact that this brawl happened on mm-hmm. Joe Judge's watch is very mm-hmm. telling about Joe Judge.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, the team looks at the quarterback and goes, "You're just another dude.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really have – you're not the savior. You're not taking us nowhere. You're just a guy playing quarterback." And I think that's what they're saying about Daniel Jones. You're just a guy playing.
I know where you're going with that. And I didn't see the fight, and that might be true if he was actually part of the fight. But, I mean, to me, it more realistic, and again, I haven't seen the video, it would be that, you know, he's standing by a cheap hit, and I think it was like a safety hit the – running back or linebacker, and then somebody hit the tight end and him in the back. So, you know, he's handing off. This is a cheap hit. A cheap hit comes back, and then he falls over, and then everybody jumps on top of each other. I don't think he was involved in it, but he might have been. If he was involved in it, that would be another first I haven't seen in a while.
If you are on defense and it gets hectic,
mm-hmm.
you should have all people now, for offensive guy, two offensive guys are fighting. They roll over on him. I get that. The defensive side of the football, even in the game, you're barely allowed to touch the quarterback.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, isn't the quarterback wearing a different color jersey?
Yeah, red usually. And you're not, I mean, that's not just, if you touch a backup.
Thank you.
You in trouble. I mean, it's a red jersey, and that's the one standard rule. I mean, you can argue all day the cheap hit across the middle, he was playing defense, blah, whatever. It was game time. It was, you know, but everybody knows in practice, even if you think you can beat somebody and there's a chance that you're going to hit the quarterback on a throwing motion, you ain't allowed to make that move in practice.
You pull up.
Yeah, you pull
up.
So
what I'm trying to say is that there's a clear distinction.
Wait, let me tell you again how bad it is.
Go ahead.
If you're in practice, and this is the 90s when it was brutal and there were no rules. And just to show you how against the rules it was, even in the 80s, 90s, if you went past the quarterback, like you got a sack in practice, if you touched him on the ass just to show you got a sack while he's throwing, you were in trouble. And that was in the 90s when there were no rules. So you imagine now being on the bottom of a pile in practice at your own place. You're right. It is say something about the coach.
And it says, first Daniel Jones, it shows that they don't respect him enough to pull off of him or to say, hey, whoa, wait a minute, quarterback.
Come out, right over here.
Right, push the power of the fight 4 feet to the left.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it shows that Joe Judge doesn't have control of that team. because according to reports, it was a team fight. Like, yeah. 80 to 90 guys fighting. That's absurd.
Your own team. Your own teammates. This isn't right. You don't even see that against another team or your rival. You don't see that against, you know, Miami, Oklahoma back in the day.
This is not some joint practice, right? This is not y'all didn't invite Dallas in to practice. So now, or we practicing against the Jets or the Redskins or whatever.
And I'll break
it
up. And nobody in football minds that because they look at it as team building because my team's banding together and fighting this team. That's okay. And that's fine. But you're right. But when it's team on team and it's the whole team, that's some crazy stuff that's going on there.
That's bad is the word we're looking for. That's terrible. And it tells me that Joe Judge does not have the respect of that locker room. These Bill Belichick disciples keep getting jobs. And outside of Brian Flores, they keep coming up short. Now, we can say what we want about the Tennessee Titans, but the Tennessee Titans are more driven by Derrick Henry than anything.
Yeah.
Because if you take Derrick Henry off that team, they ain't X-ing and O-ing nobody.
No.
They playing simple brute football. We're bigger than you. We're going to run you over until you submit. If you don't submit, you'll probably beat us. Mm-hmm. But we ain't doing this with strategy. This ain't rocket science what we're doing. This is sticks and stones. So outside of Brian Flores, who has been handicapped with Tua, give me a Bill Belichick assistant that's been successful.
Well, you know what the other crazy part about that fight was? If you look like this is the other weird part that just would have never happened. You get a limited time. I mean, we have – in 2 days, we have the first, you know, the Hall of Fame game. This is a pro thing. He called practice right at that and didn't practice. So he lost, I don't know what part of practice it was. If it was a team drill, it was probably the end. But the punishment was to make him do push-ups and run laps for 10 minutes. These are like elite world-class athletes. And your punishment is I got to do some push-ups and run two laps for 10 minutes. And it's like that alone should be like, all right, because next time I'm going to do it again.
Right.
I mean, I might have to run a lap. No, God forbid. I mean, that was shocking to me. It's like, you know what? Hand out some big-ass fines. And I mean big-ass fines.
My man, most people on the defense can bench press their body weight two times over. These are guys at the peak physical condition of a human being.
Work out for 2 hours straight.
Your punishment is do 20 push-ups.
And jog two laps. The whole thing lasts 10 minutes, and, you know, we're going to miss precious practice time, too, because we're going to do this as punishment. And most people are like, you know what? Good. I mean, back in my day, I would have rather jogged laps than did practice.
So I think that we are on the verge of seeing another Bill Belichick disciple wash out and end up back in New England. You're not him. So
no.
Learn how to treat your players, dude. Because Bill Belichick's learning that too, by the way, minus Tom Brady, things seem a little more difficult. So these guys have to figure out a way to put their own stamp on these teams that are not Bill Belichick associated. Because this guy, Matt Patricia was one of the worst.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And again, you know what part of it is? Look, Belichick had to fail in Cleveland before he got his system down, but he built his system. So you can't just walk out there, take somebody else's system that he labored, built, and died and was fired through and everything else and just try to copy it at some random place when you're not him.
And he knows the inside and out of that system in his sleep.
Mm-hmm.
The people who he have around, they don't even know it that well. Like Josh McDaniels went and coached Denver. How long did that last?
Not long.
On the first thing smoking back, not only did he get fired quick, then took a job with Indianapolis, and then was like, you know what? I quit. Not even coach one day. Didn't even get off the plane. Okay? Well,
again, so here's the problem, and you get this with bad managers. If you ever walk into a place and say, and it's somebody new and they say, I've got this proven system. It worked here and here and here. And that's the way we're going to do it. It's a proven system. Run away because it's proven for that person because it rolls for that person because that person is the guy or the girl or the woman. It doesn't work for you. I mean, Michael Jordan's, his system doesn't work for Ben Simmons, obviously. So it doesn't, you can't just say it's proven. I mean, I can go out all day and say, hey, I'm going to do it the Belichick way. I'm going to do it the Tom Brady way. I'm going to do it the LeBron way. I'm going to do it the Michael Jordan way, the Kobe way. Yeah, it's proven with them, but it ain't proven with you, and you're never gonna emulate it. And that's the worst thing in the world of people that are, you know, you were sent to management spot and you want to use somebody else's system. Use your own, or you shouldn't be there.
I think that's what most general managers fail at. You hire a guy based on what he did with another guy, as mm-hmm. opposed to you being convinced that he can be his own man.
Yeah.
Like, if you wanted to hire Bill Belichick, throw a big fat check and some draft picks to him and towards the organization, and they might let him walk. Other than that, bro, do you be the best you? And a lot of guys can't or won't do that.
No, and it's such a simple concept. It's like, you know, I'm going to draft Bronny James because he grew up with LeBron, so he's going to be right. LeBron. Or I'm going to – Michael Jordan's son got to be the next GOAT because he grew up with him. He played with him. He knows all this. He's got his DNA. He's got to be the best. So it doesn't happen that way. Why is it going to happen like just coaches' ways? It's insane.
It doesn't make any sense. It's never made any sense. And I cannot believe we made it to the end of the show without going off the rails.
Dang. We must be getting together. It's that Laker chemistry.
See y'all tomorrow. Bye.
All right. Later.